Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 235, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. I don't know. What, like, today is
May 4th, Jack.
Oh, yeah. Bro, I forgot. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Is that? What?
May the 4th
May
be with
4th.
You.
Oh, yeah. You too, man.
And also with you.
Oh,
yeah.
Right,
his mercy
right.
endureth
and also
forever.
With
his mercy endureth forever. Yeah, George Lucas.
Handmaid Tales line really hitting different these Oof. Days. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, Miles Gray, the Lord of Lankershim, a.k.a. Hideo Noho. Just, you know, having a front row seat to this shit show we call America. Mm-hmm. Hop in, folks. We got some talking to do.
Yup. Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and brilliant comedy writer and podcast host who you know from his podcast, Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, producing and hosting 150 episodes of something called the Cracked Podcast.
Oh. Hmm.
Creating the bison emoji and from being a four-time Jeopardy champion, it's Alex motherfucking Schmidt!
Ready!
What's up? Baby.
Always great to be back. Thank you, guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Always great to have you.
Good to see you.
You know, we were telling our new producers, Becca and Trisha, before we started rolling, just like, you know, to avoid eye contact, you know, maybe turn off their Zoom cameras because
this guy's like Don Rickles.
Yeah, Don Rickles coming through and he comes in hot and takes no prisoners. And then you came in. We were like, psych, it's the nicest person I've ever met.
When your camera turned on in the Zoom call, you were already in an ear-to-ear grin. And I was like, damn it. It's a mystery, at least.
You blew it, man.
Blew what?
We had a bit going.
To see you.
It also, I was looking at my browser at just something funny, and I didn't know that when the Zoom turned on, it would pop in front of my browser. Like, you're just suddenly, it's like diving off a high dive or something.
Yeah.
You're just suddenly in the meeting. It's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I started roasting people and, you know, picking on them.
They're so crying now, but like, we warned them and I feel like it was good for everyone.
How's North CAC?
I've moved. I'm in Brooklyn now.
Oh, shit. What?
So Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. Yeah. New Yorkers in the building now. Okay. Yeah. How long you been in New York now?
I'm surprised you couldn't tell from my very Brooklyn aspect I have. But I've been here like 7 months or so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we went and saw cherry blossoms in the Botanic Garden this weekend. Ooh, that's how it's going.
That's good. Pretty nice.
So y'all living on the fucking edge, it sounds like.
Yes.
Red line.
I've got blossoms. He is an accent that people have here.
Got blossoms over here. Is that, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Is that how you, like, there was just a Brooklyn guy there with cherry blossoms who's waving you over? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or is a guy who manages a group of blossom impersonators?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Also a blossom thing. So
everybody got those denim bucket hats with the front flipped up like that. Yeah, blossoms. Yeah. What do you want?
Kind of timeless. Her style was kind of timeless.
It's coming
really
back.
Baggy. Yeah. I feel like it's always like on the verge of coming back. And no matter when you watch it, even if it's at a point where it's not back, she still pulls it off.
So, oh, yeah. And I guarantee you. You go to like a semi-hip party in LA or New York, there will be one person dressed like Blossom.
Yeah.
That's just part of the texture of like one of these parties. It's like, oh, and there's that party. Okay, y'all lean into the 90s thing, but doing it authentically. We see.
Yeah, totally. All the parties I go to. Yep. That's true. I was just at a party the other Wednesday, and people dress. I noticed how people dressed, and it was like that.
Jack, these parties I go to, they got everything. Blossom impersonators, six impersonators. Okay, this place has everything. And a guy who kind of looks like Stefan Urkel. Also, he's a
I was saying you were doing a good Stefan impression there. Isn't that the Bill Hader character?
Yeah, I know. That's Mm-hmm. You saw it all comes together. You picked it up.
Anyways, Alex, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. Yeah, I mean, this happened 2 nights ago, but the leaked Roe decision, we're going to just be processing that. We are recording this the day after it was leaked and still processing it. I don't know, man. It feels like it's, you know, as bad as
angry.
We thought. I'm pretty pissed off. And so we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about some mutual aid resources. And we'll ask the important question, do Oscar winners really live longer than losers? Not just losers, but people who don't win an Oscar.
Oh, got you.
Which, basically, I think we can admit that, like, all of us who have not won an Oscar are fucking losers. Just period, right?
Yeah, I want a useless gold statue.
That's the only...
That doesn't mean anything anymore?
Yeah. Like, we all have an empty space on a shelf that's that size. Yeah. And we just look at it sadly. You know?
I have a question. For you guys, did you ever in your mind think, one day I might get an Oscar? I don't know. I might fuck around and be involved with something that gets me an Oscar.
still leaving the door open, Miles.
Yeah. I think everyone needs to have that just in their heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. I did high school theater, and I feel like that was just an immediate go-to for adults talking to me. And it probably happens to everyone who ever does high school theater. It's like, oh, you got a part in one play one time. Next stop, the Oscars. And like, don't do that, adults. You don't need to.
No.
That's not really how it works.
The next stop is probably 14 years of soul-crushing community black box theater.
That's what makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And ready for the big stage. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll talk about it, but I just feel like the whole mentality around Oscars being like, well, that's the ultimate. That's the thing. You could either win an Oscar or become president. Those are like the main things in America. It's probably unhealthy, especially given.
It's go to Harvard, get an Oscar, or be the president.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the three things. Like, no matter, you hear some version of that. You could
be all three Obama.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Has he won an Oscar? I feel like.
Who gives a shit? Sorry.
Gives a shit?
I'm in a different wavelength at the moment. Yeah.
But, you know, trust and progress.
I do like the idea of any American president trying to play a different character in a movie. It's just so distracting, right?
Right.
Like, they're so burned into your head. They can't do it. No matter how
a reverse Reagan, where somebody like wins the presidency and then is like, I actually am launching a acting career.
You're like, wait, what?
Where I'll be in B movies opposite a chimp.
Hold on. You want to be one of the most powerful people on the planet to launch a fucking, to leverage a Paramount Plus streaming show?
Yes. I mean,
yeah.
Like if you offered that to Trump right now, I bet he would take it. Like if you were just like, actually, we think you might be one of our great actors and entertainers.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to put up with this presidency shit anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have to pretend to like the people that voted for you. Yeah. I think he would be in.
Swap him out in that fucking Stallone thing about the, you know, the mobster who's got to rebuild an empire. Be like, this is perfect for you, man. Yeah, this is one of these really cool productions. We have these new cameras that are actually built into a lot of people's glasses and eyeballs so that acting can be really natural. So please don't be dissuaded by the lack of production infrastructure. This is a TV show. Now go say your lines in this dark room.
I think it's a pretty interesting outside of the box solution to the fact that he could probably has over 50% chance of being the next president again, is just launch a movie career and put him in movies that are all like scheduled to come out that year. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I just have a really busy promotion campaign. Yeah. And then he doesn't run. Yeah. And then we all just don't go see his movies. And Hollywood has done something good for once.
Perfect. All right.
Perfect.
No need to talk about anything else. Then.
Do we need to do the news today?
I think we're good.
Everything intersects with that idea. So we don't need to talk about anything. If we do that, then everything else is solved. Okay.
All right. Before we get to any of that shit, Alex, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
So I cheated a little bit because my first several are all related to this Supreme Court case and abortion and everything else. But like the first one before that is the name Felicet, because I was learning about this to make my podcast, but it's the only cat that has ever been sent to space.
Oh.
It was sent by the French space program in 1963. They sent a cat into space for like 15 minutes, and her name was Felicet.
France is true to the brand. They are like, what can we do? What can we do with this? When did they send her?
1963, yeah. And It was when, like, it was right after the Russians sent a dog and the U.S. was sending primates. And so we were still figuring out, like, how mammals react to space. And
right.
So the French sent rats and then they sent a cat.
Mm.
Rats, then cats. Okay.
And did we find out how it did? Did it come back? Was it a celebrity?
It's good and bad. It's the cat came back successfully and then they did, like, surgery on the cat to study it, and the cat died of the surgery.
My god.
Sorry, that's a bummer, but it's fun that like a cute tuxedo cat went to space.
Hey, early history is all about just being like, I don't know, open it up and see what's inside.
Like, yeah.
Fuck, there's all right, I guess that's the information you had back then, so you this is part of adding to that data set.
They kept ashing inside the cat because the surgeons were smoking the whole time, presumably. And that didn't help with the scientific process.
Yeah, it died of an infection caused by stray beret felt that fell into the operating wound.
Right. A team of surgeons and one accordion player worked round the clock to try to save it. Round the clock.
What is something you think is overrated?
I know this has come up, but the idea that COVID is over is overrated. I got it a little over a month ago and it was not fun. And a lot of times I would tell people close to me like, hey, I have COVID. And they would be like, me too. Like, it's just going on.
Me
and
it's too, but we don't say shit. It's over.
So just everybody be careful. I know that's like dark news, but be careful.
You know? No, it's not. I think it's important that people can acknowledge that there it very much still is the possibility of getting infected with COVID. That has not changed at all. The only thing is like these sort of politician and like media informed attitudes that we're seeing that's like, yeah, man, look, now that everything's over, you're like, for fucking who? Like Her Majesty had it a couple weeks ago. I know so many people too that I'm like, I'm not like my anecdotal data sets of knowing if infections are up or down or not changing. So I think that's for sure. It's pretty spot on.
Yeah. But it's not on the news anymore. It's not, Yeah, it's just on social media. We find out from people.
I think because to really, this is the thing, to talk about it, you have to acknowledge the humanity of the pandemic. And if you do that, then you're inevitably going to start talking about inequality again and mm-hmm. wages and who's able yeah. to, whether not working or lockdowns happening or who works in a place where the fucking rules are so lax that it's just a, you know, an infection vector from hell. They don't want to do that because look what happened. Like we got the thing where people were leaving jobs like, oh, the wages are going up and that's why we got inflation. We're like, no, asshole. We're getting your greedy, greedy faced version of what you think is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't the fact yeah. that the corporations that drove a lot of the inflation had record profits, nothing to see there. Just
no.
it was natural, invisible hand shit, and don't pay attention to the invisible hand because it's invisible. You can't see it and it works perfectly every time. So just trust it.
Yeah. And I mean, think of how much we've by again, when you don't have a pandemic, now nobody's a hero.
Right.
That's the other thing, too. You don't have to acknowledge anyone's sacrifice if there's not a pandemic. So it's very convenient to completely just take all that shit out of the discourse because that's not what we're talking about anymore. We're talking about that it's over. And if people get it, yeah. it's like, well, you know, you should wear a mask or whatever. Everyone's going to get it. Like, who cares? And like, yeah, maybe we're still learning about long COVID. I don't know. But also, we don't have money for the pandemic response. Like, all of it looks not great still.
And as I mentioned yesterday, I do bribe the doctors when I take a COVID test
yeah.
to just make sure that it comes back negative. So I still haven't had it, but I,
yeah.
you know, like that's just my strategy.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. When you showed, you're like, yeah, I just got my COVID test. And I was like, what is this? It says negative plus. I was like, "What is that?" Yeah, that's how negative I was.
It's negative new streaming service.
Never
it's
even pretty good, actually. Never seen some shit like this. I'm like, Jack, I don't know how this helps your
means
identity.
I'm extra negative. All right. What is something you think is underrated?
Yeah, this one is just cool. Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson is doing great.
Yeah.
He turned 89 last week. And he put out a new album on his birthday, and it's great. It's called A Beautiful Life. It's very good. And he's just generally always been on the right side of most things, as far as I know. He's great.
Yeah.
Really into it.
He is one of the, like, musicians that my parents listen to all the time that still holds up for me. And there, you know, there's a lot that probably the fact that my parents listen to them all the time make me associate with, like, being nerds like Billy Joel. Maybe that's not fair. And you know, Anita Baker at the time, I was did not give a fair shake okay. because I was just like, come on, this is so slow. Put on Axl Rose, he will be yeah. cool forever. And that wasn't the case. But Willie Nelson, I always liked his voice even back then, and mm-hmm. he stays cool. What a voice.
Guy stays cool, huh?
Yeah. Mm. And he smoked a joint in the White House.
He did, yeah, with Jimmy Carter's son. It was great. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. I miss country music completely when I was a kid. Like, I've only started getting into it in the last couple of years. So I have no associations with it, really. I'm just, like, fresh, and it feels great. He's very cool. He has, like, the way he sings, he'll do interesting phrasing, kind of like Sinatra, if that helps people on board. Okay. I don't know. He's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good.
I used to, as a kid, I used to think him and George Carlin were the same person.
Oh, that's
like when
fair.
I was really
George
young.
Carlin?
Yeah, because I was like, these are white guys with long hair.
Yeah.
And like white
beards.
Right. And like, yeah. And I was just, again, this was me not even hearing a single, like my visual thing was like, oh, he's wearing a headband today. Oh, he's not.
Right.
And then I'm like, I got older, I'm like, they are not the same person at fucking all. But I remember that very early on, I was confused when I saw the two of them.
Yeah, they have kind of the same head shape, like kind of a square head to me.
Yeah.
And then kind of the same facial hair.
And I think it's just a little bit of gleaming long hair in the back. That was enough to say as a 4-year-old, be like, and that is the same person. And I know everything about popular culture.
Yeah.
I mean, Willie Nelson's hair, I always associate with like being in the pigtail braids.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that he was able to pull that off and still just be a complete icon is pretty cool.
89, though.
Yeah. He got Texas on board with that. The state of Texas. Think about it. You know?
Well,
they don't change fast. but they did for him.
Yeah. They're like, I guess we're doing this now. Yeah.
Like with, yeah, it reminds me of like, this is a very specific reference, but Jock Peterson on the Braves was wearing like pearls, like, oh, yeah, when he plays baseball. And I was like, look at all these Braves fans, and men coming out with their pearls on. I'm like, okay, the power of sports. There you go.
It's okay because he does it. Yeah.
Him straight, him hit home run. I'm now wear pearl. Also man.
He should push it like this year when he's in the postseason. He should just like have more accessories. Just keep accessorizing until building the breaking point.
Right. So like every man in Georgia is weighed down by an insurmountable amount of jewelry. They're like, can't move.
I've been thinking a lot about the Carter White House. I think we talked about it a little bit on yesterday's episode, which I have mostly blacked out. But the...
We can't go back.
the fact that the New York Times is addressing, you know, centrist Democrat in power as being like, wow, there's just a mood issue that nobody can quite pinpoint. And the fact that that was followed by like just 12 years of like hardcore Republicanism in the mainstream worries me a little bit that we're like back at that point where they're like, I don't know, we're out of answers here, folks. So I guess we turn it over to them.
Hot potato. There you go. Fuck that up. Here, take it.
And I feel like that whole thing is sort of like the response to inflation going up or something else. Like people are like, oh, I guess this is just how people feel. And I don't know. Look at the context, man. Like,
right.
He's exclusively been president during a global pandemic. Like that'll impact people's mood a little. Right. That's not his fault necessarily.
But, yeah. And I think the other part, just sort of like, what could it be? Do we point at the little breadcrumbs that fell out of his jacket pocket that were legislative wins and hope that's enough? Or do we dangle a bunch of existential threats in front of them to get them to fucking vote? And it looks like the latter right now.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. I guess we'll be talking about that in a moment.
Yeah.
So let's take a break, gird yourselves, and we'll be right back.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And on Monday night, 2 nights ago, Politico published a leaked Roe decision that suggests that the Supreme Court is about to overturn Roe v. Wade. And the opinion really lays the foundation for like a white Christian theocracy where like abortion, contraception, consensual sex acts are all able to be policed at a national level and like banned at a national level. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's kind of it's as bad as we thought, I think, is kind of, and it's infuriating that we're at this place and people are losing the right to have autonomy over their own body.
Yeah. I mean, reading like just parts of that opinion from Alito, like he's referencing this guy, Sir Matthew Hale, that a lot of people have pointed out is an English jurist from the 17th century whose fucking musings like laid the foundation for people to normalize things like marital rape. And like he was regularly being like, oh, these people, these women are witches and need to be burned. He's taking that guy's ideology and sort of using that to underline or bolster his, you know, his argument in terms of overturning Roe. And yeah, it's true. It's not just abortion that's at stake. This like there are many things they've articulated that they want to go after. And of course, this all goes hand in hand with your privacy, because now, again, the government will be if at the momentum it's going, if we're cutting off contraception, they're knowing when you're having sex and how you're having sex with who you're having sex. That's now part of what the government needs to look out for and respond to. And it's so fucking frightening to look at things we thought were rights and in the middle of the night, a Politico leak, and then they're saying, oh, hey, we're in the dark ages again.
Right.
My head spins in so many ways because I'm like, what's the response? I think that's the thing that I'm like really bracing myself for is like, what is the terrible, completely unaware, can't read the room response going to be from Democrats? Like in terms of what they think, how they're either going to leverage this as a way to motivate people to vote without actually looking at the violence that is in front of people and say like, this is why you got to vote. We're already hearing that. This is why you got to vote.
I think that was Biden's first statement was, yeah, this is on the voters to elect more pro-choice.
Then what the fuck do y'all do?
Right.
Right.
What do y'all do if the fucking reproductive rights are stripped away and you say, yay, y'all got to do something about that? Then what the why do we need you? Then this goes back to the fact that the government is completely incapable of protecting people.
Right.
Absolutely incapable and unwilling. That's how this system is built. It's not built to protect anybody except for the wealthiest people.
And so I don't know how many times we have to go through this example of like, oh yeah, man, you got the right to vote. Nah, I don't know. Fuck it. Maybe you don't. Hey man, we need to do something about, you know, police violence. Nah, maybe not. Oh, we got to do something about all these transphobic bills. Nah, I don't know, man. Figure it out on your own. So we're left in a position like your house is on fire. You call the fucking firefighters. And then when they show up, they're like, yeah, man, we got some shit in the truck. You can handle that, man. Right. Because that's not what we do. Huh? Yeah. That's the feeling I think a lot of people have right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I see them say stuff like, be sure to vote. And I'm like, okay, like what is, do you have a job you do? Because like, if this is my job, can you edit my podcast and pick up my groceries and like,
right,
sweep and like the things I have to do here? Like, please.
Because I'll go lean on Joe Manchin for you if you need that.
Right.
Because I don't know what the fuck y'all are doing. You'd be like, hey, Joe, no, you're not feeling it? All right. Okay. I'll see you later. Like, where's the leadership? Yeah. You hear all, like, with all these other presidents, you hear about these monumental moments and all the fucking shit that had to happen behind the scenes to, like, get some semblance of civil rights or whatever. I feel like none of that shit is happening.
The fact that Biden felt comfortable coming out and saying we need to vote, like, and elect officials, like, is so, like, I can't believe that that is not a point that people are making more to the point that he feels, like, ashamed to say some shit like that. Because the really insidious thing is that this is their model, is having the Republicans do shit that, like, threatens our ability to live in a free society. And then you scare people into voting, because if their model was to actually look out for the people as opposed to, you know, the corporate interests that kind of get them elected, they would be doing more proactive things. But it's like, it makes sense from a purely like cynical and power dynamics perspective for them to sit back, let them do some shit that like is fundamentally like turning America into an authoritarian like society, and then just be the only alternative. Like that seems to be their model at this point, is like being the other guy.
Yeah.
While the country yo-yos back and forth between a straight up authoritarian hate group that comes to power over half the time, and then the ineffectual Democrats whose continued existence is based on like selling itself as the other guys without doing anything. Yeah. It's just like we have the psychotically bad alternative and the bad alternative. And like, that's the bad alternative obviously benefits from that. And like, how are we in a position where they feel like what he said in his statement is basically, yep, so you better vote. Like, so our system is working.
That's why you got to vote.
Yeah. Our system, our plan is working. This is our strategy to scare you into voting for us, even though we don't do shit. We just don't put your safety and freedom at risk.
Yeah. And also that Politico stuff, like they have the whole first draft or whatever draft it is of what Alito wrote in, you know, wherever he writes these things. And there was really shocking stuff in it, if you look at it. Like, mm-hmm. I hope Democrats really go after everything in it. Like, at one point, he uses language that compares the Roe decision to Plessy versus Ferguson that upheld segregation, and he compares it to Korematsu that upheld interning Japanese Americans in World War II. Like there's no, they went all the way. There's mm-hmm. no like thing to wait for that they're going to do next that's awful other than tearing down more things. Like, Democrats can go ahead. They have the green light to fight. Like, go for it.
But they're not, you know, that's the fucked up part. Because we've seen this is the thing. I'm wondering when a plurality of American people actually understand that these people are not going to do shit. They're going to fucking, you're going to get a fucking text in like 6 hours with Nancy Pelosi's face on it being like, I need $14. Where the fuck you at? Abortion rights are at risk. Man, fuck you. Come out your fucking pockets and do something. You're not doing shit. All you do is posture, and then you keep presenting this party merely as a pause button on fascism. You're not rewinding shit. You're not taking us forward. You just hit pause. That's all you fucking do. Republicans, they're like, fascism, let's fucking go. Autocracy, we on this. Then the Democrats come in like, don't you want to hit pause on this?
We're right. here. And we're here to hit pause on it. Don't expect us to right the wrongs or any fucking anything to do with that, because at the end of the day, they're a branch off the same fucking tree as Republicans. They just grow on the left side of the fucking tree. And that tree drinks water directly from corporations and moneyed interests, who are the people that these politicians are beholden to. They're not beholden to the voters. Man. If they were, when we're out there in the streets being like, man, fuck this, they would be like, oh shit, these people vote me in or out. Rather than, no, there's actually these very wealthy people who vote me in or out based on the number of media ad buys they do, the fucking Oppo research they might do on me, or maybe on someone who's trying to primary me or someone who's an opponent. There's so many other dynamics there that these people don't go into fucking service thinking, how am I going to help my constituents? Now, there are people who are, you know, a little bit more have their shit together, but they're in such a minority that we're only going to see these people capitulate over and over to not the people. And I don't know how many times we have to keep saying that and say, if it's not them, then who is it going to be?
Right.
Because I think it's us, because it's damn sure not them that's helping us out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, in Jacobin, the article about this, they wrote, like, even if a massive popular uprising on this issue allows Democrats to hold on to the Senate, unless they abolish the filibuster rule, a law protecting abortion access has no chance. What can they promise us tomorrow that they can't deliver today? What are they dangling? They're in power. We're going to, you know, so somehow Manchin's going to be cool, and there's going to be like 10 more votes. Like, it's not a feasible solution at this point.
And with these, like, mainly mainstream Democrats, because there are people like Justice Democrats and other ones who are doing well, but with the mainstream Democrats mainly saying, hey, make sure to vote. Like, Obama ran on codifying Roe as law, and we elected him twice. And Biden in the primaries said he would codify Roe as law, and we elected him by 7 million votes. Like,
right.
They're pointing to the one thing that is kind of going okay. Like, the voting that humans are doing against that being repressed and in spite of other things is, like, one of the few parts that we're doing a good job of. Like, it's very weird to be like, that's the solution, when it's all the other structural things that need fixing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think a lot of people who begrudgingly vote for Democrats really are trying to, we're at a crossroads. Like, we can't keep getting played like this, because people die.
Yeah. Right.
All the time because of them, with their fucking duplicity. And this is I'm not sure what it's going to take, but it's hard to believe that the Democrats could deliver a thing. I know they all got together outside the steps of the Capitol, and they're like, oh, Chuck Schumer's like, you awoken the giant. The fuck have been doing with what? Because Kyrsten Sinema already said she wants to respect the filibuster.
Right.
So there that goes. So now what? And stop dangling bullshit in front of people, because it's like every crisis we have, shit gets realer for different segments of America. And this is a very broad one. Now, some people will know what fucking time it is. Other people can continue to live in their comfort, because let's be real, this is really going to affect poor people, especially poor women of color. And if this was anything about being pro-life or whatever, you'd actually talk about the mortality of people giving birth.
Right.
And how what happens there, that people are more likely to die in childbirth than someone who's getting an abortion. Like, if you're just putting it side by side and other demographic factors, but again, because that's not what this is about. It's just all about creating the most amount of cruelty to bring in this fucking Christian ethno state that they love. And we're meant to be like, okay, well, what do we do? And part of me is looking at it, I'm like, you know, we're already living in a country where the conservatives control everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So what's the fucking difference?
Right.
Honestly, the speaker's different, and then you're not doing shit just so you can go to the Senate and fucking die, and we're not passing anything. They really have a problem here that they have to be able to articulate to say, this is how it's going to be different. But I don't think they can, because this is all structurally just part of how politics work in the United States. And there's there has to be so much substantive change, like especially around money and politics, before you can even begin to have some kind of philosophical shift on how policy is made. That it's okay. For me, I'm like, you know what? I'd rather not put all my energy into being angry at these fucking clowns who do the same shit every time. And I'm like, what the fuck? The clowns clowned it up again. And I'd rather put my energy into like, you know what? How the fuck do we figure this out for each other? Because I'm tired of leaning on them. I'm much more interested in how as communities we can look out for each other, because at least those people, I feel more beholden to my neighbor or someone in my community than some abstraction in a suit talking to me with a D next to their name in parentheses on a TV screen.
Yeah.
Right on.
The sentiment that like people, I've heard people, you know, obviously this is like truly horrifying, and I don't begrudge anyone being outraged and surprised by this, but like the idea that like the idea that a bunch of old religious extremists can like take away the rights of a majority of people to bodily autonomy. Like, we live in a society with six times the imprisonment rate of Black people than prohibition era South Africa. Like, we are living in an unjust society that abuses the rights and bodies and destroys the lives of the poor in order to conserve like very weird, very white supremacist, very like religious extremist values. Like, this is not new. And like, that is our society. And so like, I feel like that is not, that can't be surprising to us anymore. Like, this is a police state that governs at the whims of a very few, very wealthy people, basically.
Yeah, especially with the Supreme Court as a institution, it needs to either be like fully reformed or abolished or something else. Like, we kind of have nine popes or kings or something that can just redo the whole government and the whole legal system anytime they want to. And like, if in particular, if people want history on it, there's a great book by Ian Millhiser. It's called Injustices. And the basic argument is that the Supreme Court has only done anything for people for like 25 years, the Warren courts and the Burger courts in the 60s and 70s, which, and one of the things they did was the Roe decision. But other than that, it's mostly made life worse for humans in the country and better for corporations and government power. That's pretty much all it's done across its whole history. And then like, there's a blip where they did Brown versus Board and they did Roe and they did the things we're excited about. But that's a real outlier historically.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I feel like we don't need a separate governmental wing to do things for corporations. They already got all the power. I think we're covered there.
It's like Marvel movies. Enough, you know, plenty. We've seen it.
Yeah, I just feel like more, you know, we have to be real about what Congress and a president can deliver when their interests have nothing to do with what normal working people, non-wealthy people, like, when it's completely disconnected from that reality. Because what we experience is like, fuck it, like as if Congress is trying to do remote surgery like on the planet from three planets away, like on one person. Like, that's how many layers removed they are from the thing they're working on.
Yeah.
And it shows more and more, and the absurdity of it only becomes clearer and clearer. And I think, and I get why people feel so angst-ridden and why the vibes are bad. Because we're in a situation where we're like, hold the fuck up. Like, I thought this isn't doing shit at all.
Right.
And I think we're just not at a point where more like it's normal to articulate, this is fucking broken. It's not going to work without a dramatic shift. And because it requires such a dramatic shift, the powers that be are not able to articulate that. They're too entrenched in it to be able to say, we're the fucking problem. So it's really incumbent again on us to figure out what the fuck we need to do as communities, as people collectively, to be able to ensure the kinds of safeties and outcomes that we believe we are owed as people. And there is a lot that the federal government can do, but on a certain level, we have to begin to find a way where we can say, look, no matter what's happening there, like we can find a way to make this work for each other. And I'm much more interested in those kinds of solutions than me being like, you know, let's go to Steve Karnacki at the fucking electoral map and see where the vote counts come in.
Right.
That's all spectacle.
Yeah.
And it's and every time we get all caught up in that shit, people are losing their lives to the police, to bigoted, homophobic people, to having to find some other alternative to reproductive care. And
right.
Yeah, it's demoralizing, you know, to say like this is the country that we live in.
It's demoralizing by design, I think.
Yeah, like that. For sure.
Yeah. So speaking of like alternatives, some producers, Becca and Trisha, put together a list of various, you know, mutual aid organizations that we're going to put in the footnotes. There's also a point I'm seeing made a lot of places that's also in their research is just the medical improvements of basically medication abortions by mail for people who aren't able to travel or take off work. You know, home abortions are now very safe and also save people who need abortions from going to a clinic facing protesters. So there are organizations like Plan C, Hey Jane, Abortion on Demand that can offer more information about that. And we'll link off to that as well. Yeah. And then there's a list of funds in each of the 26 states that are most likely to enact a ban on abortion. There's mutual aid funds in states where access to abortion is most at risk. And then figure out where there are protests near you. There's one being organized at the Supreme Court. There's also Foley Square in Manhattan, the Texas Capitol, U.S. Courthouse in L.A., many other towns and cities. So look up what's happening near you. And in addition to being able to like show up and show your support physically, you know, you might meet people who are also trying to figure out what the fuck we do from here.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have more of that in the footnotes and also in trending episodes.
But yeah, I think public outcry is the one thing we have right now. This is a draft. I don't know. Maybe someone, one justice decides to go the other way. But I'm not counting. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm very pessimistic at the moment just because I'm so fucking tired of the duplicity and nonsense that we're having to deal with when every single person is just trying to fucking live. But, you know, I think this decision was probably like a month away from actually becoming public. So,
yeah, I recently heard someone talk about how hope is underrated and an important thing. I think it can also be a dangerous thing if it's fueled by just being disconnected from the realities of what people are living through around you and what your day-to-day life is actually, you know, being funded at the expense of. If you're not in touch with reality, then hope is actually bullshit and very dangerous. So, yeah.
Yeah, when we're taping this, I think there's no information about how the draft got out or who leaked it. And there's a bunch of claims about it being one side or the other side trying to do something. But either way, like, just mainly seems designed to mess with all of us. Like, it's trying to put some kind of germ in people's heads. Like, if you do the right post or sign, you'll change Amy Coney Barrett's heart. Like, no, that's not part of your purview. Just like take care of yourself and do what Miles was describing, especially with like, you know, finding people around you who are working on the right thing.
Yeah. Right. Connect to other people who give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at what can happen when you find a bunch of like people who have a, you know, a good spirit and want to do something good.
Yeah.
I think that's the most hopeful thing is to identify those people, be there for people, because this is a very difficult moment to be there for people and just, you know, support each other in the moment. Cause this is a really grim moment. And to your point, like, I don't know who leaked it. I don't know if that's the DNC's type thing where they're like, oh man, they fuck it. They need to, this is going to help. They need to know about this. You know, type shit.
Right.
Which feels very cynical. And I'm like, I don't know. The way they're talking about it feels like they knew this was going to happen. Like, maybe this will fucking help out the poll numbers, which is so fucked up or whatever.
Yeah.
And then on the, which is really interesting. I do want to touch on how the conservative media was touching on it. They were so fucking enraged. that it was leaked.
Their rights. So violated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Who knew? Who knew? Because their little fascist gender reveal didn't happen the way they wanted it to, because I'm sure they wanted that pins and needles moment with people on the steps of the Capitol. And then they ring the bell and everyone's like, yay, we fucking rolled back time.
Right.
But on Fox, you have people like Ari Fleischer, who was saying shit like, this is, I'm just going to, I honestly, I'm just going to play these words because this, I think this is a little bit instructive into how Fox News and conservative media is also trying to get their viewers in line with what's happened. Because let's keep in mind, only 30% of Americans had said they wanted Roe overturned.
What really troubles me, not about the ruling itself, if that's the ruling itself, I accept and respect that ruling, but the lead
as a man.
Make no mistake, Sean, this is an insurrection against the Supreme Court. I've already seen people on the left celebrating this leaker, calling him brave, trying to throw a Hail Mary to stop the ruling from being issued. Who at the Supreme Court will trust each other now if they know that their drafts are going to be leaked, just like everything else in Washington?
Oh! Who think of... Who gives
a... Couldn't stop himself from cracking a smile. When, if that's the ruling...
I respect
so
it.
Fucking happy.
And right. This is Mike Huckabee also going along with the same trope.
One step further. This is an insurrection, not by some guy from some state who got hot under the collar and went to D.C. and got overheated at a rally. Oh. This is insurrection by a person who is paid for by the taxpayers and who has a duty under his particular job and employment to keep his mouth shut. And
okay. So... the outrage machine is fired up because no one's talking about the substance of the decision.
Well, like, if that's their decision, I accept it.
Well, right. Because to go there, I don't think they don't want their viewers to begin a thought experiment about what their own views are on abortion. Because they're like, look, you're on the same team. Now, the way to think about this is not all the reproductive rights that are being rolled back and eventually people who just want to have, or any form of birth control. It's about they did an insurrection to the Supreme Court. And that shit's so fucking weak. I was like, bro, this is funny. Y'all swinging at some bullshit over here.
Yeah, but it's their, they were just waiting for the right moment to do the mirroring thing they do where they take the word that is being used to describe what they're actually doing and apply it to something that is actually like a good thing. To just kind of make us, it's the...
Yeah, but the nuance is too much for the Fox viewer.
Oh, yeah.
I know what they're doing, but like, it's not good. Like, it's easy to just be like, there's a frigging invasion of immigrants and then show people at the board.
It's not stupid. That's
someone emailed a document there's no law. Like, even if the, Chief Justice Roberts, like, there's going to be an investigation. They said, unless there's real hacking or criminal activity, they can't arrest anybody.
But it's way worse that this person has a job and did bad job than somebody who got a little hot under collar and tried to overthrow the government with guns.
Yeah, beat the shit out of a Capitol police officer with a flagpole. I don't know.
But that's like the thing. I feel like sometimes I am dismissive of Fox News and like Fox News viewers as, that this is dumb. That... Like, they're doubling, they're mirroring. Like, that shit is very effective. Like, them just being like, this, now we say insurrection. And, like, they are learning, like, they pull the shit from Putin. It is how to lie on the internet, and they are good at it. And it's, like, there's not a counterpoint on the side of good. And they're... just beating the shit out of the truth constantly on a day-to-day basis, and they're very good at it. And like, I feel like the talking point of like, look at these idiots is probably dangerous at this point because they're winning and they're very good at it.
Well, I think because the reason they're winning is by its very nature, our capitalistic society is built to just enrich the very few at the cost of the many.
Yeah.
And because the Republicans' endgame is actually more in line with that, that's why they're doing a better job, is because they're not fighting the current of capitalism. Mm. Like, and the problem is Democrats pretend to, so they don't get anything done.
Right.
And they're but even though we're still playing in the same sandbox, though, where being a dickhead wins.
Yeah.
And with, again, I think it's just they're going to win if this is always going to be the venue for trying to legislate or adjudicate anything that is, you know, has a tangible effect on people's quality of life. It's just not going to work because the Democrats, what, do they suddenly be like, you know what? We've become socialists.
Right. Nope.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. That's not happening. So,
yeah.
That's why I'm like, I can't, there's no way I can expect them to do anything that's corrective. And I can't expect Republicans will keep doing it because they're operating a system that actually it's built to do that. So, yeah, that's why they're winning, because that's what the whole thing is.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like that current analogy is so right on. Like, this is a 50 year current that Republicans have been fomenting and swimming with, especially specifically on abortion. Like, they've been holding a march for life in Washington, D.C. every year. They've been like trying to make this happen. And they like today, and then eventually when this draft becomes a thing, like, they got everything they've wanted for 50 years. And they're using a leaker to say, we are the victims today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have been oppressed by this devious person who we're just going to decide is on the left, even though there's absolutely no evidence of that.
Yeah.
We have been struck a cruel blow along the lines of, what's that word? Insurrection. Let's go with that. Right. They're saying that. Yeah. Great. Cool.
You ruined the surprise. That's essentially it.
You blew it.
I took the ice cream cake out of the fridge. I can't put it back. It doesn't get right when you put it back. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Also, they have a good beard consultant, whoever's doing the beard work for them, because Mike Huckabee looks better with a beard. So that's another advantage they have.
He looks like a dude who would lie that he's a Jedi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, I'm a Jedi. I'm like, bro, get the fuck away from me.
He reached out to Cruz's beard guy, and it's powerful stuff.
Everybody tell Mike, may the fourth be with you. Throw one of those to him. That's today. Yeah.
That's right.
May the fourth
be with you as well, brother. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And there was a recent study published by the University of Toronto claiming that Oscar winners are more likely to live longer than their unnominated co-stars. So,
oh, then they're unnominated. Okay, that's a little more specific.
Unnominated and also, so yeah. it's a little confusing.
Wow.
Because there's also a version of the number set that includes people who are nominated but didn't win. And when you combine all of them together, the Oscar winners outlive them by 4 years, and yeah. Presumably Meryl Streep will outlive my grandchildren.
And then Glenn Close should already be dead.
Right, exactly.
What, she lose like 8 fucking times?
So around 5 years longer than those who missed out. The study found no official reason for this except that winners may, quote, follow the ideals of a prudent lifestyle or maybe gain confidence that allows them to avoid some stress.
This is some amateur fortune teller shit.
It's real amateur bullshit.
I believe that there's no official reason, but my belief is that they follow some ideal of a prudent life and have abilities to have less stress. Okay. Yeah. Cool. A happy person?
I have a theory. I think the real reason is interesting and not.
Okay.
They might just be happier and happiness good, you know, and they probably avoid some stresses. So I feel like, you know, first of all, winning is not a product of merit or effort or skill. Cause like one of the theories is also like that by having better like stress management techniques, they put themselves in a position to like also be an Oscar winner.
No, but, motherfucker, what studio put the film out?
Exactly.
What's their market? What's their awards budget? That's what it is.
The win is the result of an industry conspiring to work with you to wager money on your career and wager, and then like an Oscar win is good for your career. And when you win, you become more profitable. Like once money is wagered on your career and you win, then you are more profitable to an entire like galaxy of very successful and shrewd people who are in the business of investing in people's careers. Like each celebrity is not a autonomous individual like the rest of us. They are the forward-facing mascot of an entire small company worth of people working to try to make money off of their career.
Right.
And you can squeeze more money out of a company that has won the big game at award season, basically. Yeah.
Hey, why is that one racehorse all healthy that keeps winning all the races? Well, because it keeps winning all the races and they put more money, invested more money in that racehorse so it can keep winning. And that's why the shitty horses we don't talk about anymore.
Yeah.
This study is extra funny in the context of most Oscar campaigns in the press, which is how much strife the actor went through.
Right.
Like, no, it's just working out really good for them. Like, I don't care that Leonardo DiCaprio was like in the woods for a month or met a bear or something. He didn't really go through that much and he's going to be fine. It's okay.
Right. Oh, well, I mean, now I really have to think about what's the true cost of the Oscars. If people are dying, if they're living 4 years less.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the other thing is like, it's also
terrible.
You know, actors who were not nominated. So presumably, are they pulling from like all actors, like people who are in B movies as extras? Because then I fully believe the number set. And like, that's the least surprising thing in the world that the person who is like in the spotlight of the entire industry would have a longer lifespan.
I just like petty pseudoscience like this, you know, where it's like, dude, you die sooner if you lost at the Oscars. It's like, that's not a real investigation, but I like this idea. I like the concept. I like to ruminate on it. But
so Dr. Don Rettelmeyer is who the study comes from. You actually may know his work. He was the first to study the correlation between cell phone use and car crashes back in 1997, when only stockbrokers and Alicia Silverstone characters had cell phones. And he was the first to discover a huge increase in fatalities on Super Bowl Sunday, which actually informed like public safety policies and campaigns. So
part of me doesn't think that one is as special.
What are you talking man, about?
I feel like people get fucked up on you. You might want to be careful out there every time people get fucked up on this day. But it's hard to, the cell phone thing. Okay. So he's got a little bit of a CV to lean on.
Like,
yeah, I'm starting to think this guy just likes entertainment. Like, that, I like entertainment. Am I a scientist now? Yeah. Sure.
Right.
Cool. All right.
Is it like, I wonder if like how many like were him experiencing it? Like he was on a cell phone and like almost crashed. Oh, fuck.
Right.
Oh, man, I can't be the only. But he has like just that wherewithal to be like, I can't be the only person who just almost did that. We probably need to look at that. Cut to, you know what? Cell phones might be dangerous. Another time he got shit-faced at a Super Bowl party, embarrassed himself, tried to go home, and crashed his car into like a fucking tree, like on a fucking, like an abandoned road, and then came to that decision too. I think
these are like these are carbon offsets for his like own life, where he's just like constantly like driving through parks and like taking out people and being like, huh. All right, well, I got to educate people about this.
I'm a method researcher.
Right.
I try to embody the terrible thing that I think could happen. You're like, this doesn't sound like science at all.
I'm strengthening my theory that it's just because the whole industry wants Oscar winners to live longer so they can continue to make money off of them. While actors who won Oscars live longer, writers who won Oscars ended up dying sooner by about 3.6 years. And that tracks because nobody gives a shit about writers in Hollywood at all.
And writers are torture, like so many tortured souls like that are like really great writers too. That's I can see that.
Yeah. I hope it's also because the non-winning screenplays, the writer was lazy, so they conserved a bunch of energy. A bunch of health, you know?
Right.
They got 8 hours of sleep every night. It's great.
Right.
I just like though that his whole this theory even came that he said he watched the Oscars and he said the celebrities look quote much more vivacious at the awards shows than regular people.
They were on cocaine, man.
I just want to talk to this guy. I'm like, yo, bro, let's come up with a study right now, man. I know, like the way you think. He's like, hold on. He's like, they're vivacious. Hold on. Do you die sooner if you lose an Oscar? Oh my god,
he's just a guy who hasn't learned that it's cool to be famous. Like how is all this joy reaching them? How is this happening?
Look so happy. That's like a parent text that you said, like, you know, a celebrity's mom is like, hey, great job on the red carpet, you look so happy,
you look so happy,
and it makes me happy, it feeds my heart.
And that's all I wanted. You know, I told you that. I just want you to be happy, honey.
Mm. So you brought that what's her name with you? I wasn't doing anything, but she looked happy too. So that's
a little
good
too
to,
happy
to do that
if you ask
for
mom.
Her.
Mom, her name's Meryl. Meryl Streep. We have been over this pretty often.
I know.
You told me you liked the Iron Lady a lot too. Like you really liked it.
She is the mother of your grandchildren, Mom. Jesus.
I guess. Still haven't seen a paternity test.
All right. Alex, as always, truly a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Thank you guys, as always, for having me. And I'm Alex Schmitty on Twitter and alexschmitty.com. And then I make a weekly podcast called Secretly Incredibly Fascinating. And each episode, we take one thing people think is ordinary, get into history, science, stories, why it's amazing. And I do a bunch of research and then bring funny people on to make it fun with me. So Please check it out if you search Secretly in your podcast app. It's the red logo, Secretly Incredibly Fascinating.
There you go.
Really proud of it. I hope people like it.
You should be. It's a great show. People should go check it out.
Thank you. And thanks for being on it, both of you.
I learned so much. Yeah. What did we talk about? Refrigeration?
Yeah, we did refrigeration.
Yeah. That's why, that's what's great about your show is it starts on a topic like that. And even at the end, I'm like, man, I didn't know any of this shit that we were just talking about refrigeration. Thank you so much.
And then suddenly just refrigeration facts start being sprinkled into daily zeitgeist over the next week.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if Miles you knew about like, this thing, but.
Yeah.
You know how all right, I'll come clean.
You know how I spent like a lot of time talking about how the U.S. sewage system is a great metaphor for the electoral politics about a year ago. I did a sewage system, Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, and it was very fascinating. Fatbergs. I was not ready for the fatbergs.
Oh, the size of icebergs.
God, that's gross.
Yeah. I love the idea of me being a puppet master some of the time. That's really fun to me. Like, just once in a while. Great. That's all
it's
I
always
need.
Always a Wednesday.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I saw this is from, it's at Chris Trauma is the name. It's a funny account, Chris Trauma. The tweet was, imagine getting fitted for a tux and the guy makes measurements with a fruit by the foot and neither of you say a word about it the whole time.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm getting married later this year to have like my first tailor experiences. And I want that to be what happened to me.
You're still shopping around for tailors until you find one who's going to do it right.
Yeah, one of them tried to use gushers. They're not really good as a unit of measurement.
Just running.
Tried to combine a bunch of fruit roll-ups.
Yeah.
I just like the idea. It's like, and he's like, and obviously I'm a professional, so I do leave the paper on so it doesn't damage your current garments when I'm doing measurements with my fruit by the foot tape.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. If you like 420 Day Fiance, then check that out. That's not a good way to promote that, but check out that other podcast I do called 420 Day Fiance, about 90 Day Fiance. Also, the basketball show, as usual, Miles and Jack got mad boosties, our NBA show. Where it's just great. We're in the middle of the playoffs. We're talking that talking Giannis. Maybe tune in. Yeah. I know a lot of Milwaukee Bucks fans like, when's the Giannis love? It's coming.
It's coming. It is imminent.
Yes. We have to take a breath and then we talk about our beloved basketball players. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Sam Sanders at Sam Sanders tweeted. One thing I'll say about Politico, they don't hold vital reporting hostage until a book release.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, for good or bad, that is true. And then Sesla at Ceci Kiba, KHIBA, tweeted, not my mom telling me she still talked to my ex because I still talk to her ex. Ma'am,
wow.
That's my dad.
Holy shit. Wow. I hope that's based in fact, because that is.
That's such a terribly unhealthy relationship with your mother. Like, oh.
Yeah.
My heart aches if that is true. I'm like, but hey, we love a joke. Whew.
I feel like I just watched like a 10-part documentary and my brain is catching up.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
What did he do?
Let's see. Tweets I've been enjoying. I liked just a lot of the tweets about the experience of being on Twitter while the Met Gala was happening and the overturning of Roe was being announced. I like Jamie Loftus's tweet, what if we kissed while Elon Musk monetized our viral tweets about Roe being overturned? The Logan Trent crack writer tweeted, y'all let them scapegoat Muslims with that Sharia law bullshit while they stockpiled as much Christian fascism as they could fill their carts with. I think it's also just good perspective. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, man, this is a track from like a 70s, 60s Brazilian artist named Vanderleia, who was like a TV presenter, but also like a musician. And this track, Lindo, is just, it's sexy. You know what I mean? It's like got this like old, like 70s, like sort of poppy soul vibe, like on the brink of disco. But it's just, I just love the instrumentation on it, and it's real instruments. I find myself like every now and then, like, I want to hear people play on their instruments and make music rather than sampling and stuff like that. So this is a great track. So this is Lindo by Wanderleia.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.